As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome home. Thank you for listening to the Doing It at Home podcast. All right, I'm just going to clear this up and get it out of the way. We did not have an episode last week. Probably for the first time in the 6+ years we've been producing this show, we completely missed putting out an episode. Why, you might ask? Well, if you know who we are and you've listened to the show at all and you've heard about what's going on in our lives, we have a 4-month-old along with a 6-year-old, and we have been working on getting back into life and integrating and figuring out our new normal and what that means for our work-life balance, as well as for me with exclusively breastfeeding. And sleep has not stabilized on our end. I'm just sharing with you a couple of real life things, and I'm sure so many of you can relate and understand, but I just wanted to clear the space and let you know that we know, we are very clear, we are aware, and we're getting back on track here. So thank you so much for your space holding and your patience and your grace with all of that. We're doing it. We're doing it over here. We're doing it at home. If you are new to the space and want to learn more about doing it at home, first of all, subscribe to the show. That's a great place to start. And then you can check out the links in the show notes for ways to connect on our website, social media, check out deals from our partners and sponsors. All sorts of great stuff for you is there. Okay, we'll get into the episode for the day, a brief word from our sponsors, and we'll catch you next week. Bye.
Hey, I'm Sarah Bivens.
And I'm Matthew Bivens.
And this is the Doing It at Home podcast, the only podcast dedicated to empowering, loving, and honest conversations around home birth. What started as a fun way for us to document our own home birth journey has turned into a platform for sharing birth stories, resources, and education with the goal of empowering mamas and families to make the birth decisions that work best for them.
Plus, we get into the antics, breakdowns, and breakthroughs of our own experience of marriage and parenthood.
All right. You ready, babe?
Yep. Let's do it, mama.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Doing It at Home podcast. Myself, Sarah Bivens, and Matthew Bivens, my husband, are so happy that you're here listening with us, a part of this community. We just appreciate you so much. So thank you. Couple of quick announcements. First of all, hope you're listening with your Parents On Demand app right now. If you are not, you can do so by going to parentsondemand.com. That link is in our show notes, or you can just Google Parents On Demand, the pod network that we are a part of. And you can download that app on your Android or your iOS device, and you can listen to our show along with all of the other shows from the network there. Also, how you can support the show, of course, by listening like you are now, dropping us reviews in Apple Podcasts. We greatly appreciate that. And checking out the shop, getting your Doing It at Home swag. All of that is there for you. You know, the seasons are changing. We've got some leaves falling in our yard. It's a little bit cooler today, so I might need to get me a hoodie or a sweatshirt that says, have babies where you make them, because I have my tank, but that's going to go in the back of the closet soon. So there you have it, ways you can support the show. And another quick announcement, we have more interview requests than we can address right now at this point. So if you've noticed, or if you've tried to submit your birth story to us, to be on the show as a guest. We just have a little update there on the website that we are currently full, which is a great problem to have. But we just appreciate and ask that you kind of bear with us as we move through clearing up space in the schedule and addressing your requests. So if you have sent in a submission, we have it, we appreciate it, and we will get to you when we can. So just trust that. There are a lot of life things going on, and you know, the podcast is not our main business. It's not the main thing that we do. It's a big passion project that we love so much. So that's why we make the time for it. But just to let you know, kind of where we're at, that we appreciate all the submissions and we are not currently accepting any more at this point in time, probably for the remainder of 2019. And then we'll revisit in 2020 as we, you know, look at our schedule and re-examine there. But there, just a little housekeeping note there for you. We love you and we can't wait to share all your stories. Just bear with us. And yeah, let's get into today's birth story. So we're chatting with Celia Donaldson. And Celia is actually a birth and postpartum doula and a childbirth educator herself. So it's really cool when we bring birth workers into the conversation and then turn it to their personal stories and experience. I really like getting that perspective. And this one for me, I feel like really centers around how normal home birth is and can be talked about and experienced and perceived. Because for Celia, home birth has always been a completely normal thing because she herself was born at home. So home birth didn't have to be this big, here's what it is. You know, it didn't have to be a deep dive as to what is it, why people would do it. It was just normal for her. And so I believe that normalcy and that normalization and that variation of normal really carries through how Celia shares her story, from the research that she did while pregnant to the conversations and the preparations that she and her partner Ali put into place for preparing their birth, assembling their birth team, and then bringing baby Nadir, their son, Earthside, and welcoming him, and just the magic of that. And Celia shares some of her favorite resources as well, and how you can get in touch with her and learn about her if you're in the Bay Area out near San Francisco in California. So definitely connect with her if you are in those circles. So there you have it. That's a little bit of background on the story. Can't wait for you to listen. Here's a brief word from our sponsor, and then we'll dive right in.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey, Celia. Welcome to the Doing It at Home podcast. How are you?
I'm so well on this beautiful sunny day. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. You're so welcome. Thank you for being here and sharing your energy with us. And we're going to have some fun today. So why don't you set the scene and just share with us a little bit about you and your family?
All right. So I have a partner named Ali, and we have our almost 2-year-old named Nadir, and we live on Treasure Island in the San Francisco Bay Area. For now, we're moving to Berkeley soon, which is my hometown.
Oh, very cool.
And I'm from here, but Ali is born in Iran and grew up in Germany. So we get to travel to Germany every year and visit family there. And And he's kind of a tech guy and I'm a birth lady, and somehow this is a really good mix.
Yes, absolutely. I love that. And, you know, you mentioned Berkeley. One of my best friends from childhood lives in Berkeley with her husband, and they are expecting their first like in a month. So
that's so exciting. Yeah,
all the babies in the bay hanging out.
Yeah, there's a lot of doulas around here.
Very cool. Very cool. And that's a little bit of what you do, right?
Yeah. So I am a birth doula and postpartum doula, and then I also teach childbirth education and hypnobirthing, and have kind of done that on and off over the years, but since giving birth have really jumped back into it full time.
I can imagine. I'm sure it reignited a lot for you, or, you know, just grew some of that passion.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a really satisfying birth experience, and it inspired me to, you know, help other people get that experience, have an ecstatic birth.
Oh, yes. Speaking my language. I love it. So given your doula background, is that how you knew about home birth, or where did you first learn about what home birth was?
Well, I think I'm one of those weird people where home birth was just normal to me. I was born at home.
Oh, great.
And it just always felt normal and kind of never occurred to me that I would give birth anywhere else.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it felt very natural. And I was lucky enough to have a partner who was on board with that from the beginning, because I know not everybody is in that situation. And sometimes we know that it feels right for us as the birthing person, and we got to get the partner on board.
Yeah. And then what about any of Ali's perspective, you know, that you can speak to, because I know he's not here, but from his family and culture, being from Iran, living in Germany, what were some of his ideas or thoughts around home birth and that whole choice?
He was very supportive. He just kind of said, all right, cool.
Nice.
If that's what you want, we'll do that. And he just trusts in the birth process, and the surrounding family on his end was not as on board.
Okay.
But, you know, I stood my ground, and they kind of just accepted it eventually. And I know, like, part of that is because people have kind of hard birth experiences or some scary stories, and yeah, they don't know how safe that it can be. So that was an opportunity for me to share with them all that I know.
Gotcha. That's awesome. So then how did you go about making your plans or in your care provider? And what was that process like for you and Ali?
Let's see. I reached out to midwives probably too early in my pregnancy. And we met a few. They came to our house. It was just such a nice experience, like having plenty of time to talk and ask all the questions that we had. And then I discovered through our search that one of my doula friends had become a midwife, and we had her over, and immediately it felt like such a good fit. And so I just knew immediately, this is the person I want at our birth.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she was available, thank goodness.
And how was pregnancy for you?
It was good. But you know what? I've always seen pregnancy as this beautiful, like, glamorous, ethereal thing. And when I was pregnant, I definitely did not feel that way.
Okay.
I was like, I just feel heavy and hot, and I don't feel beautiful. But now looking back on it, I'm like, wow, that was so cool. But you know, yeah, I didn't have any problems come up. I did have prenatal care at the hospital, like part of that. I didn't go as much as somebody normally would if they were having a hospital birth. But I went in for some ultrasounds and some testing. And I think the next time around, I would probably do less of that because mm-hmm. it just seemed like a lot of it was unnecessary.
Gotcha. Yeah, I can understand that.
Prenatal care with a midwife in your home.
Mm-hmm. So what were you envisioning, or did you have thoughts about what you might want during your birth, whether that was pain management techniques or resources you were utilizing, people you wanted there? What were some of the things you had in mind?
Well, I started doing a lot of research in pregnancy and listening to podcasts. Yours was one of them. Mm-hmm. And I hired a doula, and I've got a little story about that that I'll share later, but I wanted it to be really intimate and private and quiet. And so I didn't want any family members there, just kind of me and my partner and our doula. And I did not yet know about hypnobirthing in detail. So I kind of just, I thought, well, I know a lot about birth and I'm just going to practice, you know, some breathing techniques and movement and go to yoga classes. And that really actually did help me in the end, in the birth process, especially, this Rachel Yellen audio program. I had downloaded and I listened to that every night in the last month of my pregnancy. And it was like a guided meditation with affirmations and breathing. And with that practice, it created this pattern so that it was really easy for me to go back to that in labor. And I highly recommend just any type of practice that creates this mind-body connection and an anchor for you to go back to in birth. Yeah, it's really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. So then what about those last couple weeks of pregnancy? How were you feeling, and what was the energy around that time?
Oh, man. It was a weird month. I was due at the end of September, and he ended up being born October 1st. But I thought I was maybe going into labor like all the time.
Okay.
In the whole month of September, I remember in the beginning of the month, I was with this group of ladies, and suddenly this like hot flash came over me, and I felt like I was having a contraction, and my belly was getting all tight. I started kind of needing to sway and stop my conversation and breathe through it, and felt lots of cervix pressure, and that lasted for like half an hour and then went away. And so this kept happening every couple of days, and so I like canceled this meditation retreat I was gonna go on, and my midwife canceled her plans to travel, and we're like, maybe this baby's coming early, I'm not sure. Of course, he ended up coming 4 days after my due date, but we were really confused about that.
I can imagine. That's a little, you know, discombobulating.
Yeah, but it was really cool because, you know, it helped me to like expand my view of what pregnancy and labor can be like, because I hadn't experienced that as a doula. So now I realize that, you know, the body starts preparing and warming up, and sometimes that starts earlier for some people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. They're snowflakes, right? Each birth experience, they're all very different.
Yes, yeah.
So then what Absolutely. Was the real deal? How did you know it was moving into labor and birthing time?
It was a Thursday afternoon, I got acupuncture, and I told my acupuncturist, you can do the points, but, you know, can start, get things moving,
okay,
get it started. And then the next night, Friday night, I could not sleep. And my memory of it now is that I was just having like annoying cramps that would wake me up every half hour. But I just read over my birth story last night, and it said, I apparently wrote that they were strong contractions, but that's
okay.
Crazy now. I don't think they were. I mean, it gets a lot stronger later. So I guess I was kind of up and down all night with feeling these surges. And then I remember I finally fell asleep in the early morning and slept for a couple hours, and then woke up and was thinking, all right, I think we're staying at home today. It's going to be a Saturday at home, and this is probably happening.
And it's
funny to look back. I have a picture of that morning, and I'm like smiling, and Ali's doing some hip squeezes, and you could tell like this is definitely just early labor.
Okay. So then moving us into birthing time, walk us through some of that.
Yeah. So I let my midwife know what was going on, and my doula. So about my little doula story, my doula was sick at the time, and she had a backup doula, but I'd only met her over FaceTime, and I just ended up not being comfortable inviting her because we hadn't really created a relationship through the pregnancy. So I ended up not having a doula.
Oh, okay.
But it was fine. Maybe I'm just one of those people who was fine without it. I always recommend that people have a doula, but I was very much in the zone and felt supported. So it was awesome being at home. We just hung out. I remember eating latkes and all kinds of delicious food and drinking orange juice. And we watched, what was it, Men in Black or something. I was just kind of waddling around the house, half naked in my flannel shirt with wool socks on. And every so often a surge would come and I would like lean over the couch or sit on the birth ball. And I remember being really tired, and laying down felt super uncomfortable, and surges would be more painful if I was lying down. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to nap sitting up, and it kind of was just like that all day, and not super regular. Like surges would come 5 minutes apart, and then 8 minutes, and then 3 minutes, and kind of all over the place. So I was a little confused, but I knew that it could take some time. And I started to get a little bit frustrated by the evening when the sun was going down and the pattern hadn't really changed.
Okay. Yeah. So how did you work through that with that?
Yeah. By then I was texting with my midwife asking her like, what's going to happen now? Can I do something? She still hadn't come over to my house yet. And she suggested that I have a shot of alcohol or something like that and get in the bath, and it would either slow down and I could get some rest, or it would kind of shift things into gear. So we did not have any alcohol, and on Treasure Island, the grocery stores don't sell alcohol. So we were like, great, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Stuck on this island. And so Ali actually like walked over to the neighbor's house. He was like, call me back in 5 minutes. And he walked down to the neighbor's house and asked them if he could borrow a glass or a bottle of wine, because I was in labor, and they were very confused. And he showed up with a bottle of wine that was already half gone and poured me a glass, and I drank that. It was actually really nice. And I got in the bath, and it really did shift things.
Wow.
It was really nice being in warm water, and I kind of laid back with a towel behind me, and I was really in the zone, just like breathing. And so Ali asked me if he could do some work. So he sat next to me on his computer doing some work. And he like lit all these candles and it was nice and relaxing. While I was leaning back, I felt Nadir shift in my belly. Like he moved to the other side of my belly or something. But I think that helped his head fully engage in my pelvis. Mm. And literally right after the first surge, after he had moved, it was way more intense. And then from there, it became consistent 4 minutes apart. And I was able to labor in the bathtub for a little bit like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the memory starts to like get a little bit foggy, because I think the body creates this also surge of hormones to help you get into labor land.
Yeah.
This kind of other realm.
Mm-hmm. So within that fog, are there any things that really stick out as far as how you were experiencing the labor, or, you know, when your midwife arrived and how the remainder of the time flowed?
Yeah. Well, I actually love it even more than early labor.
Yeah.
It was just, it's so cool to be taken into this other realm and being unmedicated, like you can really feel what's going on in your body. So at some point I got tired of being in the bath and I went into our shower, which is in a different room. And I just stood in the shower kind of swaying and moaning through every surge. And pretty quickly, it felt quick, I don't know, maybe an hour, it was closer together, like 2 minutes apart. And I remember Ali coming to me and asking, like, should I call the doula? Should I call the midwife? And I said, call Maria, call the midwife. Like intuitively, I just felt that this was going a lot faster.
Mm.
And this was like probably around 11:30 at night. And it's funny looking back at the videos, because I remember being so like in a different world during surges, but then between them, I would kind of be sort of back to normal and able to talk and he would like ask me questions. Like, I can't really hear you, but I'm here. So anyway, my midwife shows up and she was just so awesome. She knew how to be around me. She wouldn't be in my space too much, but she would be really calm and quiet whenever she was. And then she would kind of just step out and be in the other room or start setting things up quietly, and I could just really focus and be in the zone. It's just such a trip to think about those more intense surges or that part of labor when like whatever's happening around you is like not present for you at all. And you're just like so tuned in with your body. Very cool. So eventually, not that long after, I got tired of the shower. My legs were getting really tired. And so I went out into my bedroom and got on the bed. And I made a stack of pillows and just leaned over that on hands and knees. And I was laboring like that for a while, just moaning through every breath. Every single breath was a moan. And that was really helpful. Using my voice and having that vibration to release tension. And, you know, when you're moaning, your jaw is released. And so that's releasing tension in the pelvis. And I just kept telling myself that as I was, you know, moving forward, and every breath, like reminding myself that this is releasing tension and I'm opening. And like I knew that if I started to resist at all, that that would only slow things down. So I had to use whatever tools that I had practiced to release. So.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What happens next? Okay. Yeah. I remember another shift.
Mm-hmm.
So this other shift happened where I guess Nadir got lower in my belly, but I felt the need to flip over onto my back. So I was then laying on my back in the bed and I remember I came out there out of the shower naked and totally wet and did not care about drying off. And Ali brought some towels and put them on me and they kept falling off because I was like swaying. And then he just kept putting them back on me. And I remember really appreciating that, but not being able to communicate it during that time. It's funny to watch in the video. So laying on my back, I noticed as this was happening that my moaning was changing, and it was still this very deep moan, but it started to have some kind of pushy sounds in it. And my midwife heard that and came in and kind of checked me out. And I did not have any cervix checks the whole labor, and I'm glad she didn't offer it because I would not have wanted that. That seems really uncomfortable. Mm. I know some people like to have that just to gauge where they're at. But I did not. And so being on my back for a pretty short amount of time just felt really good. And then my midwife asked me to go to the bathroom to try to pee before his head got too low. I don't know, maybe that would block the dream. And so I got up to go to the bathroom. I think she could tell that he was coming soon based on the sounds I was making. And so I went and I sat on the toilet, and pretty quickly there was a pop and a gush of water. And he, I felt him move down more, and then my midwife came over to me and bent down and put her hand on my knee. And she said, okay, Celia, it's going to get more intense now. And I was like, what? It can get more intense than this. Oh my God. I thought, how am I going to do this? And I remember, like, this is around the time of transition. And I remember thinking, I didn't realize it was transition at the time, but I remember thinking, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do this anymore. And I remember thinking, I totally understand why somebody would have an epidural right now.
Yeah.
So intense. And then you just get through that part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So about how long was it from that point to when he arrived from that sitting on the toilet, water's breaking?
That was probably 30 or 40 minutes.
Oh,
before
wow.
He was born. Yeah.
Got it.
So I think that he was really low, and that bag of waters was like that last bit.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of that barrier preventing him from fully descending. And as soon as that released, he just started coming. And like she said, it got a lot more intense, but it was really different. It actually felt better. It didn't hurt as much. It just felt like more pressure in my bottom. Mm-hmm. And I remember feeling, I think I probably said this too, feels like a bowling ball is going to come out of me. I don't know if he's going to fit. And they assured me he's going to fit. Your body is designed for this. And of course I knew that, but it did not feel like that. Mm-hmm. and then just naturally my moaning really changed to this like guttural kind of, not yelling, but I could do it here. It was like,
okay.
This very deep kind of pushing, and I wasn't doing it on purpose. Like literally my body shifted into this pushing mode, or mm-hmm. I guess they call it the natural explosive reflex. And I could not stop it. It was just happening. And so I had a few contractions on the toilet, and my midwife asked me to get off the toilet before the head is born. And I just thought, how am I going to get up? I don't even know if I can do that. It felt like my hips were spreading apart completely. But then Ali came over and he kind of helped lift me up. And while I was in the bathroom, my midwife had set up some painter's plastic on the carpet to protect the floor, and put some towels and pads down and a little birthing stool. And I was kind of unsure about what position to go in, and I asked her, and she offered the birth stool. So I kind of leaned down and tried to squat on it, and immediately my body was just not having it, and intuitively just flipped over onto hands and knees. And I stayed like that until he was born. So at this point it was coming pretty fast, and I was just yelling through the surges at that point, and not in a bad way, not in any way where I was like trying to escape, but it felt like using my voice and yelling loudly, it was a good way to cope. Like I could yell as loud as it felt intense, and that really helped me to keep releasing through this part of labor that I think a lot of people find resistance in, when you feel like the most open that you've ever been. Mm. And that kind of ring of fire that happens for some people, and that fear can sometimes come up of tearing, or just your inside coming out. And so yelling helped me through that. And I remember feeling his head slowly coming down and stretching me open. And he would come out a little bit and then go back in, and did that a few times. And I remember it feeling so good when he would go back in. I was like, just stay in there, please. Oh, man. But not too long after, there was a strong surge and his head came out. And that was such a relief. Mm. Such a relief. That was the hardest part, I think. Getting the head out. And so my midwife and Ali were just behind me, and Ali supported Nadir's head. And oddly, my surges kind of petered out after his head came out, or maybe they slowed down. I don't know. But I feel like I lost some momentum after that. So then finally another surge came, and with that one, my midwife, with my permission, put her hands inside me and kind of pulled and helped him rotate out. And I just let out like the biggest roar ever. And And he was out, and it felt so good to feel his body leaving my body. And I remember feeling his little legs like wiggle out of me. It was so crazy. Immediate relief. And then I learned afterwards that his cord was wrapped around like his shoulder and part of his body. So okay. He was maybe a little bit stuck and needed that help. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe he would have come out without any help. I'm not sure. But it was all fine. And Ali tells me later that he remembered that we were supposed to do skin to skin. And so he just held Nadir against my butt as I took a few breaths to gather myself. And it's really funny to see that.
That's awesome. Hey, he took the notes. He knew he needed to do something. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think he forgot that like the placenta was still inside of me and there was a cord attaching me and the deer, because then like a few seconds later, he kind of pulled the deer closer to him and Mariah had to remind him.
Yeah.
Like, wait. Yeah, they're still attached.
That's awesome.
and so then I just flipped over and he was in my arms and I was in shock and so relieved. And I expected to be like women I've seen in birth videos who are like crying and they're so happy. And I was just in shock. I wasn't like, oh my gosh, I love you so much. It was just like, who are you? You don't even look like anybody that I know. Like, you don't look like either of us. Nice to meet you. And it was, yeah, it was just a really interesting phase of labor.
Yeah.
Having him be in my arms and it was great.
And then you're home, you know, you're home, you're in your space. I'm sure that was amazing.
Yeah. And I had like created this whole like labor and birth playlist on Spotify and did not end up playing it at all. But instead, Ali had put on this meditation music on YouTube and he had just put it on repeat for like 3 hours. And it was awesome. It just ended up being perfect. So that was playing really quietly when he was born and the room was kind of dark and the heater was on, so it was nice and warm and just so calm and peaceful, and nobody was, you know, rubbing him or messing with either of us. We just got to sit there and take it all in. And then my midwife has like a backup come. And she had accidentally locked her out, so she ran downstairs to go unlock the door, and then she came in too, and it's just very calm and peaceful, and it actually remained calm and peaceful after, even though there were some unexpected surprises. So yeah, this is one of the interesting things about home birth that I think a lot of people misunderstand, is that midwives can actually handle surprises and complicated situations. And they are really skilled and they have all their tools. And so after a while we got into bed and I was bleeding more than normal. I don't remember. I think I birthed my placenta when I was still sitting on the floor. But after that in bed, she kind of needed to pull out all the stops to try to get me to slow down with the bleeding. So I remember her pushing on my belly. She gave me some herbs and she gave me a shot of Pitocin. And what else? She even went downstairs and made a smoothie with my part of my placenta in it and berries and coconut water. So I didn't really taste any placenta. But, you know, she handled it and she was super calm the whole time. So I wasn't worried at all. And I think she probably got a little worried because I went up to go pee and I actually fainted on the toilet.
Okay.
And after passing some blood clots. And it was really trippy because I just suddenly was in a dream. And then I woke up on my bed again. And apparently she had carried me back to bed. But she totally kept her cool and just made sure I got lots of iron and stayed in bed for a while.
Mm.
She even gave me an IV with saline.
Oh, that's great.
Station, I guess that's when it. So she was able to do all of that at home, and I didn't have to go to the hospital or anything.
That's beautiful.
Really safe.
Yeah, the preparedness, you know, of midwives and the skill and the training and the information and education that they bring to the table. I love that through this show, not only have myself and Matthew, like we as a couple and as parents, have learned about the midwifery model of care and all of what it entails, but I feel like the normalization of midwifery as a care option and provider for women in home, in hospital, in birthing center. I love that we've been able to do that here as well, just with the stories that we've been able to share here, is to shed light on that, you know?
Yeah. And it's so funny that we have to normalize it now, because that was normal way of doing things forever and until the last 100 years or so.
It is interesting.
It really is. It's a safe option, and a lot of, you know, most midwives are really well trained, and that's why it's good to interview, you know, a few of them.
Definitely.
Looking for your care, just as you would for an obstetrician.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Celia, what I'd like to touch on before we wrap up here is, in addition to the intense gratitude I have for you for sharing your story, it's just so beautiful. I really felt like I was there in terms of the way that you described a lot of things, from your wool socks to like the heater in the room and you sitting on the toilet. I was there. Let's touch on the hypnobirthing aspect for 1 minute. Being that you are a doula and a hypnobirthing practitioner, what are a couple of things that you want to leave mamas with or share as far as how self-hypnosis can be very helpful during birth, or what you would maybe want someone who's not very familiar with it to know and understand?
Yeah. So I think that the name can be deceiving, and people are like thinking, are you under somebody's influence, or like in a trance?
Like, is it magic?
And really,
like, is it Harry Potter wizardry type of stuff?
I wish. No, it's all about practice. Self-hypnosis,
yes.
Hypnosis. It's really the same thing. You're always in control. And it's really about deep relaxation and practicing that so much that you can drop down really deep, really quickly, and remain there as long as you need to, and come out of it when you need to. And really this is so awesome for birth, because, you know, we need to be loose and limp and soft to open and to allow all of our hormones to do this beautiful dance that they do, that helps labor progress. And actually it is a form of pain management or pain relief. And some people who practice hypnobirthing say that they don't experience pain at all. And we explore that in classes and why that could be, because, you know, our perception of pain, a lot of it has to do with perceived threat and the tension that creates in our bodies. And so with practicing getting into this deep relaxation, we get really good at releasing tension and letting go of this perception of pain.
Yeah.
Actually finding pleasure.
Right. Leaning into it. And I love how you described, you know, just the fascination of what you were able to feel in your body throughout the labor and birth experience. Like, I feel like it ties in with that too, how you can, through that practice, right, of the centering and the deep relaxation, what you're able to like fully embrace you know, rather than kind of block out. Because I don't, you know, that might be a misconception as well around hypnobirthing, that it's like avoiding or blocking out, or, you know, you're avoiding it kind of thing. But that's not necessarily the case. It's still present. It's still there, I would imagine, or at least that's what I experienced as well. But you can just have a different relationship to it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you're still fully experiencing everything, but you're able to assist your body instead of resisting.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I love that. Yes, 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 yes. Beautiful. Cool. Well, Celia, how can listeners connect with you to either learn more about what you shared in hypnobirthing, your doula work, especially for anyone in and around the Bay Area, and to just learn more about you and your family?
I can be found at intuitivebirth.org.
Beautiful.
I've got some resources on there for people, as well as my classes and doula services. I'm supporting people all over the Bay Area. And I also work with a wonderful doula group called Brilliant Birth. And it's awesome having this support team of doulas, and we really can better serve people, families around us.
Yeah.
And what else? I also have some recommendations for people if they are wanting to read or research to prepare.
Great. Yeah. Hit us with it.
So I highly recommend Evidence-Based Birth. I'm sure people have shared this on your podcast before. It's a very good resource for all birth-related topics, evidencebasedbirth.com. And another great podcast is the Birthful Podcast, and also the Birth Hour has great birth stories. What is the other resource I would love to share for online? Oh, I don't remember now.
Well, if it comes to you, you can let me know, and then I can include it in the show notes with the resources.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Awesome.
Perfect.
Celia, thank you so much. I really appreciate you. Thank you to Ali and Nadir as well. Thank them for being a part of this story and giving you reason to be here, right? To share the story. Both of them are a very much integral part of it. So I want to acknowledge them.
Oh, yeah. They're awesome.
Cool. Thank you so much again for joining us.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Quick note about the Doing It at Home podcast. Matthew and I are not doctors or medical professionals, and nothing we say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. If you have medical or health-related questions, please take them to a trained professional. We're here simply to entertain you with stories and conversations about pregnancy, birth, and parenthood.
Does your father know you're listening to this podcast? Well, when you're done, why don't you stop by and check out a show that is 100% dad-approved, Dadages. Hi there, I'm Chad Higley. If you're looking for useful insights and practical advice you can actually apply to work, family, education, philanthropy, and just life in general, check out Dadages. That's Dadages, wherever you listen to your podcasts.